Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And welcome back to the Thursday edition of Today's Issues. The B team is here. Fred Jackson sitting in for Tim and Walker and Ed, and with me, of course, Steve Jordahl from American Family News and Dr. Ray Pritchard, standing by in our Kansas bureau.
That's right.
Well, I just looked outside. The rain is coming to an end, Fred. So everything's improving here in the heartland.
Does that mean you're going out on the bike?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Get a little bit more sunlight, yeah.
Now, do you bike when it's like 85 and 90 degrees?
Yesterday it was about 93 degrees and heavy humidity. And I felt okay. And I did 15 miles yesterday, and I felt great when I was on my bike. And I collapsed when I got home and felt awful and thought, I shouldn't be doing this.
That's not the point of exercise. I thought it was supposed to make you feel good.
Well, as long as I was on the bike, I felt great. And when I got home, I felt awful.
You're a better man than me. I tell you what, I crave air-conditioned environments when the weather gets like that.
I like it when I can sweat a lot. Then I feel like I've really done something, you know?
Well, come to Mississippi and we can guarantee sweat.
You can guarantee it every single day during the summer.
All I've got to say is between Ray and I, we bicycled 15 miles yesterday.
There you go.
Well, you be careful out there. I suppose it's a little safer than bicycling when there's ice on the path, right?
Well, 2 days ago, I rode right by a little copperhead on the trail.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, we have a lot of snakes out here in Kansas. You know? The copperheads, they don't, you know, you don't want to mess with those fellows.
No.
So you just give them, you wait, you know, once they start across the trail, you don't do anything. You just wait till they get to the other side.
Oh, my. So you do stop and wait for them to go by.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. You just don't mess with, I don't mess with snakes on the trail. You know, I just give them. You take your time, fellas, and when you're done, I'll keep riding.
Boys, that's dangerous. Don't go biking at night, I guess.
That's exactly right.
All right. Hey, listen, just before our news, I was telling you about a prediction for this fall. Who's going to win the election? Now, again, if you get all your news from CNN, Trump doesn't have a prayer.
Not a chance.
If you believe all the polls that are out there, then President Trump doesn't have a chance for re-election. And that is why a story on Fox this morning just caught my attention. And it is Professor Helmut Norpoth. And he uses what's called a primary model. Now, let me tell you a little bit of the primary model of assessing the potential for a given candidate to win. It has been around for the last 108 years, all right? So this is something that just wasn't thrown together recently. So this primary model, and it's only been wrong twice in the last 108 years. 1960 election of John F. Kennedy and the 2000 election of George W. Bush. All the other times, it has been right. Now, Professor Helmut Norpoth, using this primary model, is now predicting that President Trump has a 91% chance of winning in November. Now, when I read this, I would say, well, maybe this is going to be the third time the model
right?
was wrong, given to what I'm hearing. But he's put all this data together. And by the way, he predicted 9 months, I think it was 9 months or 9 weeks ahead of the 2016 election. Now, remember what all the polls were doing about President Trump then. Hillary Clinton was going to beat him cleanly, according to the polls. We know what happened the night of the election in 2016. So, 91% chance of winning in November. And this model gets it right for 25 of the 27 elections since 1912 when primaries were introduced. What he does, guys, is go by the strength. One of the things that this model uses is the strength of a candidate during primaries. And one of the points that he's making is that President Trump in the primaries has done extremely well. as opposed to Joe Biden. When you go back to the early primaries for this particular election, Joe Biden wasn't doing well at all. In fact, he was running fourth. So he uses the energy that has been shown consistently for a candidate, and he uses that as part of the prediction. So what do you think, Ray? Can we overcome the polls and the predictions?
You know, it's interesting because I get listening to what you're saying. This model weighs heavily the whole question of enthusiasm,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So if we're talking about voter enthusiasm, yeah, that makes a lot of sense because the Republicans, by and large, are going to be behind President Trump, and they see the attacks, the constant attacks their president is under. They're going to, most of them are going to crawl across broken glass to make sure they get to the polls and vote for the president. Whereas the Democrats, as we were talking earlier, they are, I mean, some of them don't want Biden. Some of them don't trust him. Some of them are hoping he'll be nominated and then the VP will take over. They are in disarray compared to the unity inside the Republican Party. So does it make sense? This is a, what, 108-year track record? That's pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive. Steve, I think there's two things.
Yep.
The economy.
Yes.
And debates.
Yeah. Yes.
The economy and debates.
The economy and debates. As the economy goes, so goes most elections.
Yes.
And the economy is roaring back. However, with some of the rise in coronavirus, we don't know what's going to happen with the economy. But if the economy stays strong, I think that's a very good sign. The debate. Now, this is a very interesting question because Thomas Friedman, the New York Times columnist, put a column out this morning that called for, yes, you should debate, but only if. I want you to hear Steve Ducey from Fox and Friends kind of went over a little bit about what Thomas is suggesting that needs to happen in order for Trump to debate, for Biden to debate Trump. This is cut four.
The headline was Biden should not debate Trump unless dot, dot, dot. He releases his tax returns for 2016 through 18. And secondly, Joe Biden should insist that a real-time fact-checking team approved by both candidates be hired by the Commission on Presidential Debates. And the 10 minutes before the scheduled conclusion of the debate, this team reporting on any misleading statements, phony numbers, or outright lies from either candidate had uttered. Otherwise, Joe, stay in your basement.
So this is a writer for the New York Times.
A columnist, yes.
Columnist for the New York Times. Okay. I'm Ray, I'm extremely skeptical about the whole idea of fact-checking based on what we have seen so far.
Look, the Republicans are never, underline, never going to agree to that kind of stipulation because we all know, America knows, if you just put Biden in the ring with President Trump, just man-to-man, the president is going to eat his lunch.
That is must-see TV right there.
That's right. We will all be watching. How long till Joe just says something, just something nonsensical? You know, my money's on less than 5 minutes into the debate. We all know that. So the White House has no reason to, even if this were a serious suggestion, no reason to agree to it. I'm sure the Trump people are, they can't wait to get Biden in the ring. It's not going to be a fair fight.
You know, very interesting. And Friedman addresses that, you know, if the Democrats can't get that condition, Joe, leave him in the basement.
I'm hearing that.
Yeah, I don't think the American people are going to feel comfortable with a guy who stays in the basement between now and November 3rd.
Listen to what Tucker Carlson had to say about that. This is cut six.
This is the most cynical election strategy ever devised or ever perpetrated on American voters. Hide the candidate till election day. The country can find out what's in the administration after it's in power. But until then, no appearing in public, and don't ever tell the truth. So will the Biden campaign take Tom Friedman's advice? Well, of course they will take it because they have no choice. Biden is up in the polls as of right now, so they can't let him talk. That could wreck everything. People might discover that Joe Biden bears no resemblance to the Joe Biden they remember.
There you go.
That's exact. So this is going to be a big question in this election. No question about it. I mean, we'll go through the whole convention thing with the Republicans meeting in Jacksonville. You know, they're going to have the virtual convention on the other side, the Democrats. because they have to stay consistent with their message about the coronavirus, et cetera, et cetera.
Let me ask a question to you guys, just on a serious note here. Let's suppose, okay, we get Biden, we get Trump, and it's sometime after Labor Day, and let's suppose that the polls still show that Biden is in the lead, 5, 6, 7 points. I'm just you pick your number, okay? At that point, if you're the Democrats, do you just try to run the clock out, keep him in the basement, like Tom Friedman said? Or do you dare, if you've got a lead, do you dare put Biden up man-to-man against Donald Trump? What will the Democrats do?
Given how Biden has performed when he has been out in public, it probably is an option that the Democrats seriously have to consider to keep him locked up. Because we saw this news conference, I guess it was last week, when he went to the school gymnasium and he just stood there and he attacked how President Trump has dealt with the pandemic. And then he had a list of reporters' names in front of him. In front of him. He had the list. And when he said, I need to, and I'm not making fun of the man, I need to get my local reporter in here. And he couldn't get the name of the local newspaper right. In his own backyard. He couldn't get that correct.
I think it was, you know, the thing.
Yeah.
Times.
Yes. So, the man is at a point in his life where he has difficulty with this. And who was it, the actress? Christie Alley?
Christie Alley, yes.
Christie Alley. She's out there. She's saying, and I don't think she's a conservative at all, it's my opinion, but if the Democrats are worried about how Joe Biden could deal with a one-on-one with Donald Trump, does that instill much confidence in how Joe Biden would deal with world leaders like
right.
Putin, like the Chinese leader?
I think how she said it is, if Joe Biden can't spend 3 hours on the debate stage, we think that Joe Biden can't do 3 hours on the debate stage with Donald Trump, but we think that he can do momentous decisions and face world leaders?
Yeah. The American people aren't stupid. I think as time goes on, as we get further and further into this election campaign, the liabilities of Joe Biden mm-hmm. as a leader, as the president of the United States, Ray, I think just become very pronounced.
Look, you put him on the debate stage and Trump knows. Look, the president knows how to get under people's skin. He knows he's good at that. He's good at these provocative. He'll say something. He'll get Joe Biden confused and he will say something nutty, crazy, or just make some verbal lapse and the Trump people jump all over it. Am I right? I mean, everybody knows that's exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So the debate problem for the Democrats, this isn't a theoretical issue, guys. It's a real problem they've got to face, especially if it's close or if Biden is in the lead by just a few points. They're going to have, you know, the old thing, do you do rope-a-dope and just don't even keep him in the basement?
This is my prediction. This is my prediction.
Okay.
They're going to get on the debate stage. Joe Biden is going to start going very poorly for Joe Biden, and he's going to challenge President Trump to push-ups.
All right, Steve, next story.
I wanted to tell you the story about a church in New York. This is a very, in my mind, a very disturbing turn in the Black Lives Matter saga. So a Grace Baptist Church in Troy, New York, 2 weekends ago, celebrating its anniversary, had a special service, and Black Lives Matter decided to show up. So 8 o'clock in the morning, as they're getting things ready, Black Lives Matter comes and starts blocking the entrance to the church. And they set up on the steps and on the sidewalk of the church, and they're just not letting people through. One guy went through, and they started punching him and kicking him. They are assaulting people. So, of course, the Troy police show up. You know what they do? They tell the church members, maybe it's not a good day for you to come to church.
Wow.
They don't stop the Black Lives Matter from beating people up. No, those are protests. Those are meaningful protests. We can't get in the way of that.
Well, Ray, you know, this story, Steve's been dealing with this story for the last couple of days. Here's the troubling aspect to this, because this police department obviously has been intimidated by right. the leadership in that community. And it's kind of, it goes back to Seattle telling the police to back off, stay out of CHOP. It goes.
This is so hard to believe, Fred.
I know.
It's so hard to believe. The Black Lives Matter people come and they block the entrance to the church and disrupt a church that's legally meeting, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the police basically come and they come and say their answer is, we can't stop these guys. This is not a good day for you to come to church.
Basically, yes. And they had the Black Lives Matter people had bullhorns. They were, you know, right in people's faces with bullhorns. They were being as obnoxious as they possibly could and abusive as they possibly could. But the police department just decided that, no, that's their right. So maybe you just shouldn't come to church.
Well, doesn't this go back to the old principle? What you tolerate and excuse, you actually guarantee its increase. So isn't this going to embolden the not just the protesters, but this is anti-constitutional. This is anti-First Amendment kind of behavior. Isn't this going to now embolden these protesters to do the same thing at the church down the street and around the corner and in the next village and in the next town?
That's what I'm afraid of. You know what it reminds me of, Ray? It reminds me of the way that China is treating its churches.
It's almost as if they're reading from the same playbook, which in fact they really are. But the only difference is China's doing it openly with full government support. Here they've simply intimidated the police into silence and complicity. It's disgusting. And it's terrifying to think what it's going to mean for other churches, especially in metropolitan areas around the country.
I have two questions, and I don't expect you have the answer to this yet. But why pick a church? What was the thinking?
The anniversary there, the pastor said they don't like some of the things I preach about, so he's preaching biblically. And for their anniversary, they were giving away two AR-15s in the service.
Okay.
But I mean, that's okay.
That's unique.
Well, okay, folks, you see the stunned look on everybody's faces here. I've heard of giving away stuff in church, and I'm good with that.
I've heard of hamburgers and hot dogs.
But that's right.
I haven't heard of AR-15s.
Yeah,
okay,
that's right.
I understand a little bit more. But also, just the fact that they felt comfortable going
right.
to that church.
They knew they could get away with it, right?
They knew they could get away with it, and that's what's very disturbing.
And they're going to go to some church now that's not giving away AR-15s, but has a pastor who's preaching things they don't like, and they're going to bet that the local police is going to do nothing about it. And in too many cases, Steve, they're going to be right.
Yeah, I spent all day yesterday trying to get a hold of the Troy police for comment, and they're not answering their phone.
Yeah.
At all. Nobody picked up. So
wow.
Speaking of things that are shocking that's going on in our country right now, and Colorado City, Englewood, Colorado, has passed an executive order, an emergency order, they call it, that everybody has to wear a face mask when they're out and about in that city tomorrow, Friday. Violators will have the right to a trial, but could face up to a year in prison or a $2,600 fine. Judge Napolitano, Andrew Napolitano, was on Fox and Friends this morning, had some advice for Englewood, Colorado.
Well, let's take the Englewood, Colorado case. It absolutely is not lawful. There's an area of personal behavior, an area of human choice that the government can't regulate. And in that area is what clothes you wear and what you put on your face. If you don't want to get COVID and you see someone across the street who does not have a mask on, walk away from the person. The government simply cannot tell people what to put on their mouths and their noses and their faces and their bodies. And the Supreme Court has made that very clear. Not in the COVID context, but in other contexts where people were prosecuted for wearing clothing that the government didn't like.
You know, Steve and Ray, we live in interesting times, and we have certain jurisdictions that are using this pandemic as an excuse to wield an authority that we're not used to in this country.
I asked, I think it was it was either Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel or Brad Dacus of Pacific Justice Institute. Shouldn't that be the first thing that we challenge legally and we put some parameters around legally is what are the fences around this emergency pandemic exception to the Constitution? And they agreed that that was indeed what some of their lawsuits are doing. But it, remember when it first came up, it was like, oh, we have the right. It's only temporary. We're just doing this to, you know, for safety. And everybody said, well, okay. But as usual, when you give somebody power like that, they don't give it up willingly.
Dangerous times. You know, you start to put all this together and the policies being suggested by Congresswoman Omar, her news conference the other day. It's not just about police brutality, folks. That was a stepping stone to a real agenda, what a lot of these radicals want, and that is total government control, take apart America completely, our economic system, our system that has made this country successful. And Steve, you played for me this morning a piece of audio from a Chinese woman.
Yeah, this is an anonymous woman. I couldn't find out who it was. This is reposted to somebody that I follow on Twitter. But she has some advice or some thoughts about all the people who really don't like America. Listen to this.
Okay, I just want to say this to those ungrateful Americans who hate America, who are not proud to be Americans. You know, you don't know how privileged you are to be American citizens because you are so blinded and you're too busy to look for something to complain about. If you hate America that much, then leave. Go somewhere else. Try to explore the world. That might help you understand what oppressed really means. I think America would gladly trade you to people who want to come here, work, and live, and someday become a proud American citizens, because I don't see it. You keep complaining about you are being oppressed while you are living your life like free. You are your own oppressor.
Ray.
Wow. Wow. We should take that woman and her message and put her on TV all across America, because she speaks for millions, yeah. No, tens of millions of Americans who are, you know, and her voice coming from her background, whatever it is, that's a very powerful message that needs to be spread across the nation. Agree 100%.
Yeah. You know, guys, there is a reason a wall is going up on our southern border, and the president has made that a priority. You know, it's not to keep people in this country. It's to keep people out who want to get in here illegally. Right. The doors of this country are being broken down by people who want to come here from all over the world. I've yet to meet a person who says, I can't wait to get out of this country. Please let me go.
Unless right. They're a Hollywood elite who is afraid that Trump is going to win. And then
yeah,
they never go anywhere.
Then they never did. You know, that piece of audio from that woman, that Chinese woman, I think just speaks volume. And I think you're exactly right, Ray. Americans need to listen to that and think carefully when they listen to those on the political left who say this country needs to change. We need to change everything that we're doing and really are talking about taking away our freedoms. We need to think long and hard about that and make that a major issue for this election. All right, been great to be with you. Fred Jackson, Steve Jordahl, Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray, be careful out there.
On your bicycle,
all right?
I'll do it.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Take care, brother. And you take care. Be a blessing to someone else today, folks. We'll see you again real soon. Bye for now.